Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. It is the fourth week of Advent, so we get to light four of our Advent candles. We light them to remind ourselves that Jesus came as light of the world, and he came bringing hope, peace, joy, and love. So let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you came into the world, bringing us light in our darkness. And you came bringing us hope and peace, joy and love. And Lord, we cannot thank you enough for the precious gifts you give us. So we praise you, Lord. Amen. So we're continuing to look at the women of the Nativity. And I'm going to skip ahead a little bit and leave looking at Mary until Christmas Day. But we're going to draw our attention to the moment that Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple for the purification rites required by the law of Moses. So I'm going to read from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms, praising God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marvelled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "The child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Peniel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped day and night, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. So we see that as Mary and Joseph came into the temple courts to do the required sacrifices, they encountered two people who recognized the child in their arms was someone special. The first person they encountered was Simeon, who had been promised that he would not die before seeing the Lord's Messiah. And before Simeon had even finished prophesying over Mary and over Jesus, Anna approached them. This elderly prophetess was also prompted by God to recognize Jesus as the redemption of Israel. So what was it about these two that enabled them to recognize Jesus? And what can we learn from them? We're going to focus specifically on Anna, but as they're in the same scene together, we will also include looking at Simeon a bit. So the first thing that we have to note from both Simeon and Anna is their devotion to God. We are told that Simeon was righteous and devout. We know that Simeon's devotion enabled him to be open to listening to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit led Simeon to be in the temple courts at the right time to meet with Mary and Joseph. Simeon's righteousness and devotion meant his heart and mind were open enough that he could hear from God. So often we allow life to crowd our hearts and minds so that our focus is split by many different concerns and interests. Simeon focused his heart so that God was able to communicate with him directly. Likewise, we are told of Anna's faithfulness and devotion. We first get a sense of her faithfulness in life by the fact that her husband of 7 years had died, but she chose never to remarry. She remained faithful to her husband even in death. This is particularly significant considering the economic and social consequences of being a widow for that long. As we have already seen, women didn't have many rights. Their protection was through the male figures in their families, such as the father, brother, husband, or son. But Anna's husband was dead, and we do not hear of any other family supporting her. We're not sure whether Anna was 84 years old, like the NIV translates, or in other versions, if she had been a widow for 84 years. But either way, it was clear she had lived as a widow for a long time, and she was now quite old. Widows were often exploited, and all they did have would be taken away from them by people who were willing to see their weakness, so to speak, and exploit them. But Anna chose to live a life of hardship and poverty, rather than getting remarried to avoid having to worry about money after the death of her husband. Anna chose to dedicate her life to God. As such, we are told that she never left the temple. Her constant presence in the temple is a second indication of her faithfulness and devotion. Now, it's not clear whether she actually lived in the temple. She may have lived in the temple complex, or if she was just always there to pray, fast, and devote herself to God. But either way, Luke's description of her shows that Anna was fully committed to serving God in any way she could. Anna had experienced a lot of strife and difficulty, but she used it to draw her closer to God instead of pushing her away. And her closeness to God enabled her to be in the right place and to recognize Jesus as the redemption of Israel. Sometimes when we experience loss or hardship, we can allow it to form a barrier between us and God, and we believe that God doesn't care about us. But if we allow our difficulties to draw ourselves to him, then we can realize that God loves us more intimately, more wonderfully than we could ever know. By being close to him, we can see how God is able to work in and through us, even in the midst of our pain. We don't know much about Anna, but we do know she was a prophetess, able to communicate God's words to the world. And she didn't allow the pain of her situation to negatively affect her relationship with God. Anna's faithfulness and devotion allowed her to be a part of the incredible story of God coming to earth to save us from death and destruction. We are told that Anna prayed night and day. She didn't just give God half-hearted attention or a few snatched moments of the day. Instead, she devoted hours and hours of her day to communicating with God. What about us? What is our devotion to God like? How much of your day do you give to God? One reason that our spiritual lives are so anemic is because we do not invest time in developing spiritual disciplines or in communicating with our Father, Lord, and friend. Are you willing to dedicate time to God in prayer, in reading his word? And of course, Anna didn't just pray. We are told that she fasted too. We tend not to do much fasting as a church, but fasting can be a powerful way to remind ourselves that God is in control. A quote by Dan B. Allender says, "Fasting from any nourishment, activity, or involvement or pursuit for any season sets the stage for God to appear." This is not to say that we can command God to act by fasting. Instead, fasting helps us to focus our minds so we hunger more for God. But fasting does not just have to focus on abstaining from food. As that quote said, it could be from an activity, involvement, or pursuit. One of the major things that distracts me in my day-to-day life is this thing that lives in my pocket. I am never far from my phone, and I regularly turn to it for entertainment, information, communication, and so much more. But it's also a distraction that could interrupt my time with God. So for me, fasting from my phone may enable me to set the scene in my life for God to work. If it isn't my phone, then there is always something else that distracts. I don't know about you, but I know I'm able to find many hours a week to watch TV or surf the internet. Perhaps some of that time would be better spent developing our relationships with God. Can you imagine how much more we might see God at work in our lives if we spent time learning to listen to him? Anna dedicated her life to God by never leaving the temple. I'm not suggesting this should be the model for all of us. After all, Simeon got to see Jesus and he was righteous and devout, but he didn't live in the temple. God calls all of us to relationship with him in the life he has given us. This means that we keep God at the focus of our lives while also living in the families, communities, and situations that we are in. How can you allow God to be more central in your life as you go about each day? I want to read something from Paula Gooder's book, The Women of the Nativity. "I must be as close to God as I can be. That's where I am, right next to the entrance to the holy place, in the place where people come to pay their temple tax. I can't go closer. God could never bear a woman's presence that close, or so the priests say. I stay as close as I'm allowed and I wait, fasting and praying, reading the scriptures and hoping. From time to time, the word of the Lord, that deep knowing, comes to me and I tell those around me what it says. That's why they call me a prophet. But what they don't know is what I'm waiting for. For 84 years I've waited. When I grow tired and think about giving up, the word of the Lord nudges me again and reminds me of love." So we know that we don't have to be in the temple to be close to God, but the Jewish understanding of God at that time meant that you had to be in the temple to meet with him. And so Anna stays as close as she possibly could so that she could meet with God. What do we do to stay as close to God as we possibly can? How do we devote ourselves to him? So both Simeon and Anna's devotion to God allowed them to meet Jesus, recognizing him as God's Messiah, the one they had been waiting for. Their immediate response upon meeting this special child is one of worship. Simeon took Jesus into his arms and praised God. Luke records his words of worship, and we can hear that awed gratitude in his words as he says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." And when Anna joined them, she again immediately began worshipping God. We do not have her words recorded like Simeon's, but we do know that she gave thanks to God. I love the Message translation of that verse in verse 38, which says, "She showed up, broke into an anthem of praise to God." She broke into an anthem of praise to God. When we meet with God, how do we respond? Do we break into anthems of praise? Do we marvel, like Simeon, that we've had the opportunity to meet with the God of all the universe? Our whole lives should be lived as anthems of praise to God, because we have been mightily blessed by his presence with us at all times through the Holy Spirit. Worship, of course, does not just mean singing hymns and praisings to God. That's just a way that we might choose to worship God. Worship is to give reverence and adoration towards someone or something, to recognize someone as having worth and to be deserving of respect and honor. We can choose to worship with our words, with our songs of praises, but we can also choose to worship with our lives. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, our true and proper worship is to offer ourselves to God as living sacrifices. So how do you worship God in your life? How do you worship God with your life? And then after meeting Jesus and worshipping God, Anna chooses to tell the people about the child she just met. She knew how important Jesus is, and she wanted to make sure other people heard the news too. And so she spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel, of Jerusalem. As far as we know, Anna didn't go around telling people about the experience that she had holding the Messiah. She didn't express how important she was that she got to meet Jesus. Instead, we are told that Anna spoke about the child to all. Christmas is not about the presents. It's not about the food, the decorations. It's not even about all the time spent with friends and family. Christmas is not about the carols, and it's not even about coming to church on Christmas. Christmas is about Jesus, the birth of this impossible baby, fully God and fully man, God coming to be with us, Emmanuel, God coming to rescue, restore and reunite his people with himself. It's not about us. It is about Jesus. So let's share the wonderful news of this story, that God himself came down to earth, that God chooses to love us so much that he would die to rescue us from captivity to sin and darkness. This is what Christmas is about, and this is who we have to worship and celebrate. This is who we need to tell the world about, because we all need to hear about the one who redeems us. So how can we share the story with people this Christmas season? Anna went and told everyone she could about the child that she had just met? How are we telling people about Jesus that we have met? At this time, more than any time of the year, people are more open to hearing the good news of the gospel. So let's not miss this opportunity to reach people for God. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you. We thank you that Christmas is not about all those frivolous things, the presents, the decorations, the songs, the food, or the people. Christmas is about you. You coming as Emmanuel. You choosing to be born in this world that you created. And so, Lord, help us to remember the truth of Christmas and to give you all our devotion, our worship, and our focus, to tell others about you so that they too can worship you. We pray this in your wonderful name. Amen.